Please open up your Bibles to Psalm 139. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit up and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it together. You hem me in behind and before me and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you form my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the chance to come here and to worship you and to sing songs about you and to join you in communion. And I pray that as we go into this time, as we look into your word, as we look into this psalm, that you would teach us something new about you, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would convict us if we need it, and that your words would be remembered. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So some of you may know me very well, some of you in here may not know me at all. So to fill you in, about a year ago, I was training mixed martial arts, and I had hurt my knee quite badly. I had tore about 3 different ligaments in my knee, and I was bedridden, couldn't move at all, for about 3 months. And during this time, I felt a sense of extreme loneliness. Every day as I was sitting in my bed, only seeing my dad, who was working at the time, I just felt like I was completely isolated and completely alone. Like all that there was me and my thoughts. And during this time, I suffered a great amount of anxiety and depression, and it was hard for me to make it through. And this feeling of loneliness, this feeling of abandonment that I had felt during this time, is not just unique to those situations. As we look out into the world and we look at this world that is dominated by technology, we actually see that this epidemic of loneliness is something that has inflicted not just people my age, not just people in the United States, but people all throughout the entire world. We at this time are dealing with an epidemic of loneliness. One study I read said that 1 in 6 adults feel an extreme sense of loneliness weekly. And that this sense of loneliness not just saddens us, but actually can be detrimental to our health. One study compared it to the same amount of detriment to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. This sense of loneliness is a problem that affects the world. And that begs the question, what is our solution to this sense of loneliness? Who can help us and take us out of this sense of feeling abandoned, feeling alone, feeling forsaken? And we're going to see that as we look at this psalm, Psalm 139, and break it apart into 4 pieces, we're going to see that who God is comforts us when we feel forsaken. Who God is comforts us when we feel forsaken. So we're going to look at 4 different things that are going to teach us just who God is. We're going to see that the Lord knows us, the Lord is with us, the Lord guides us, and that the Lord brings justice to us. So firstly, as we look through these first six verses, we see that the Lord knows us. As David is breaking this down, he is talking about the knowledge of God, where he's talking about God searching him, knowing when he rises up, discerning his thoughts from afar. We see that this type of knowledge is a deep knowledge. God doesn't just know us on the surface level, but rather God knows us deeply. I have a coworker whose name will not be mentioned, but it rhymes with Joe. And if you ask Joe something about a movie or something about an actor from the 80s, like if you ask Joe, do you know Kurt Russell? He could tell you five different movies that Kurt Russell is in and probably give you a fun fact that you never knew. So you could say that Joe knows Kurt Russell in the sense that he knows about him. But that's not the knowledge that we're talking about here. If you ask Joe, do you know your kids? Joe would know his kids on a deeply personal level, knowing more than just fun facts about them, but actually knowing them personally and knowing them deeply. This is the same type of knowledge that God has for us in this passage. It's more than God just knows about you. It's more than just God knows your name, but God knows you deeply and personally. God actually knows you better than you know yourself. This knowledge, as David is wrestling with it, we see in verse 6, he's contemplating this knowledge that God has for him, and it overwhelms him. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God doesn't just know you casually. God knows you deeply and personally. And not only does he know you, but we see that this knowledge actually is a knowledge as love. We see this in 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves God has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This knowledge, when God knows us, is an outpouring of his love. And when we turn around and we know God, we get to experience this love that God has for us. And this knowledge is an act of mercy as well. God knows us deeply. God knows us personally. He knows every good thing about you, and he also knows every bad thing about you. God knows every mistake that you've made, all of your shortcomings, every way that you will fail from now until the end of your life, and God still loves you. Sometimes when I was wrestling with this passage and I was meditating on this myself, I started to think about all the ways that I've made mistakes and all the mistakes that I've made and all the ways that I've fallen short. And knowing that God knows all of those things, and God has more right than anyone else to be upset about them, but yet he chooses to love me anyway, can be an overwhelming feeling. And I think that's what David is feeling in verse 6. And we see that not only is this knowing of us an act of love, but it also is an act of relationship. This knowledge is personal. This is a personal knowledge that God has with us. This knowledge is relational. It's not just a one-sided knowledge, or it's not just God saying, I know him, but I'm going to keep my distance. This is God wants to know us and have a relationship with us. And actually, we see in John that this knowledge that God has for us is compared with how the Son knows the Father. In John 10:14-15, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. This knowledge that God has for us, that then in turn we have for him, actually connects us to God. It gives us a deep relationship, and it gives us an even deeper relationship than we could have with anybody on earth. That's why Jesus compares it to this relationship that he has with the Father. So we can delight in this sense that we know God and God knows us. And this is a comfort. This is a comfort when we feel alone. When we're dealing with these struggles of loneliness, when we're wondering, is there anybody out there that knows me, that cares about me, that knows what I'm going through in this moment? We can know and take comfort in the fact that God does know you. And he doesn't just know you in that he knows your name and knows what you look like, but he knows your struggles, he knows your suffering, and he knows what you need, and he cares about you and loves you. This is a comfort when we feel isolated. This is a comfort when we feel alone. And not only does the Lord know us, but we also see that the Lord is actually with us. We see this in these next set of verses. As David is going on, he's asking this hypothetical question, where can I go to escape the Lord? Where could I possibly go to flee from God's Spirit? And he says that he could not go anywhere. There's nowhere he could possibly go. He lays up this question where he's like, if I go up to heaven where you would expect to see God, he sees that God is there. If he goes down to Sheol, the land of the dead, where you wouldn't expect to see God, he's like, God is still there. No matter where he goes, God is always around him. Where he expects God to be, as he says that he finds God in the light, God is there. And where he doesn't expect God to be, God is still there and with David. David goes on to even say that the darkness is as light where God is. God's presence is all around us, and it is all around David. God's presence with his people is a major theme that we see throughout the Old Testament. As God starts out in Eden with Adam and Eve, we see that God is walking amongst Adam and Eve, and this is a good thing and a righteous thing, and Adam and Eve end up losing that in the fall. And throughout the Old Testament, Israel is trying to regain that relationship, regain what they had in the garden, where they can be one with God, where they can be walking in his presence, having this relationship with him. And we see that throughout when they escape Egypt, they have the tabernacle, which represents God's presence with them. They have the temple where God is dwelling with them. And we see that when they make a mistake, God leaves them in exile. And this is a hardship for them. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people are trying to regain this presence. And we see that God now actually dwells in our hearts. We see that when Christ came and when he died on the cross and made us right with God, that this veil was torn, that no longer do we have to go into the tabernacle or in the temple to join in with the presence of God, but we see that God actually lives and dwells in the heart of believers. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul asked this question to the church, and he says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Now God's presence that Israel was looking after, that they were chasing after, that they desired, now has been fully revealed. God's Spirit is actually dwelling in the hearts of believers. This is a comfort for us in many ways. It comforts us in times of stress and in times of isolation. That God not only knows you and knows you fully from a distance, but actually knows you and is living inside of you. That there is nowhere that you could go that you could escape from God's presence. That he is always with you. And not only is he always with you, but he is also always teaching you. He's teaching us when we need correcting, setting us on the right course, making us more and more like Jesus every day. And not only is he teaching us, but he is empowering us for good works. He's empowering us to actually follow God and to actually feel this communion and this unity with Him. God's dwelling with us inside of our hearts is a comfort when we feel distant. When we feel like there are people that know us, but there's nobody around us, when we feel like we're alone, when we feel like we're isolated, and maybe when we are actually alone and feel isolated, when we feel like God has left us, we can read this passage and we can know that there is nowhere that we could go that we could escape God's presence. Whether you feel like you are living in heaven on earth, whether you feel like you are living on earth, or whether you feel like you are living in hell on earth, God is with you. And He is comforting you and guiding you. And we can take comfort in the fact that we are never alone. So we see that the Lord knows us, that the Lord dwells with us, and now we see in this next passage that the Lord guides us. We see David get into this discourse where he's talking with himself about how God formed him together, how before David even had form, God was knitting him together in his mother's womb. God is his sole creator. And not only is God his creator, but God actually made David and made all of us in his image. Before the world was created, God was creating David and God was creating us and creating us in his image, which gives us purpose and meaning. When God was making us in his image, it gives us purpose and meaning. When we struggle with what is our identity, who am I, why am I on this earth, we can know and take comfort in the fact that God formed us with purpose. And that purpose and that meaning is that we can actually have a relationship with God. We can have a relationship with God. We can be united with our Creator. And not only did God form us, but we see that God guides us. God knew your life before you ever existed. God knew your life before anything ever existed. God knew the path that you would go down. He knew the decisions that you would make. He knew where your life would end up. And we can find comfort in this guiding hand of God. That when we have a relationship with God, God's purpose for us, God's plan for us, God's guide for us is to follow Him and to have a relationship with Him. That God knows you, is present in your life, and is guiding you down this life to have a relationship with Him. And this is a big comfort when we feel lost. When we're making big decisions in life and we're asking these questions of where am I going? Which way should I go? Which way does God want me going? What is God's will? We can take comfort in the fact that God knows you, made you for a purpose, and is guiding your life. And that this God who knows everything, created everything, is guiding you. And that your identity and your purpose, why each and every one of you are here, is to have a relationship with God. So we see that the Lord knows us, the Lord is dwelling with us, that the Lord guides us, and lastly, we're going to see in this passage that the Lord brings justice to us. When I was reading through this section, when I was reading through Psalm 139, I got a little confused or thrown off by this portion. As David's going through and he's talking and praising God, and he's talking about how God knows him, about how he can't escape God, God dwells with him, how God is forming him and guiding him. And then he gets to this part where he starts talking about slaying the wicked and hating God's enemies. And I got a little confused. I was like, all right, this seems like a bit of a vibe shift from David, but let's take a look at what it means. We see that God switches here to say that all of the previous things that David was worshiping God for, that he was saying is good because David knows God, is also terrifying if we don't know God. That God comforts us when we feel forsaken, but God also confronts those who forsake Him. When we're looking through, and when we make ourselves enemies of God, when we don't follow Him, and we say, I am against the Lord, I am against God, and we read through these first three things, we see that what becomes a comfort for those that know God becomes terrifying for those that don't know God. That God knows everything that you do, is all around you and inescapable, and knows which way you're going, becomes terrifying. Which is why David asks for God to search him at the end of this psalm. David sees what is in store for God's enemies, and he says, God, search me and correct me so that I do not go down that same path. And we see that there is good news in Scripture, that we do not have to go down that path, that we, like David, can call out to God. That the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came down, God in flesh, lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, so that if we believe in Him, those that are enemies of God can become children of God. And that is my call to you. If you're in this room and you don't know God, please pray. Consider what has been read in this passage. Read about Jesus and pray to God and ask Him to change your heart. Because you, who God might consider His enemy, can become a child of God. And these first things of who God is go from being something that could be terrifying to something that is all comforting. And what is the comfort here for David? In God bringing justice. We see that rather than God bringing justice to our evil, we see that God is going to bring justice to evil. God forgives us, but when God comes back and when God is still working, we see that God is a just God who is bringing justice to evil. And we know that when Jesus finally returns, God will bring justice once and for all. This is a comfort when we look out to the world and we see tragedy, and we see evil. When we read the news, when we look out, when we see what's happening in other nations, when we see that Christians are being killed, when we see that innocent people are losing their lives, getting taken advantage of, and we wonder who is in control of this, who will bring justice to this, who will bring justice to this evil, we know that God will one day bring justice to this evil. When we feel abandoned, when we feel forsaken, when we wonder who will bring justice to this situation, we can take comfort that the God that knows everything, is everywhere, God is guiding everything, will also bring justice to everything. So we know that who God is comforts us when we feel forsaken. So to wrap this all up, and to give you some things to take home to think through, I have four things that I want you to seek from God this week. Firstly, seek delight in the knowledge of God. John Calvin writes in the beginning of his Institutes that when we know God, we know who we are. When we know God, we know who we are. We know our purpose, we know why we're here, we know ourselves. But we don't know who we are until we know God. When we know God, we know our purpose, we know our relationship, and we know that God knows us and loves us despite our shortcomings. So delight in the knowledge of God. Delight in knowing Him, that the sovereign God of the universe knows you and wants you to know Him. Secondly, seek communion with God in all things. Whatever you're doing this week, wherever you're going, if you're going to your job, if you're going to hang out with your family, if you're going after this to Portillo's, seek communion with God in everything. Actually ponder and think about, how can I see God in this situation? How can I see God's presence in this situation. It could be something as simple as when we're all eating hot dogs and we're enjoying God's creation and we're enjoying fellowship with other believers. It could be something even more personal, as if we're feeling alone and abandoned and seeking communion with God. But in whatever you're doing this week, seek delight in the knowledge of God and seek communion with God in all things. Thirdly, seek comfort in the guiding hand of God. As you're going throughout this week, if you're struggling with choices that you have to make, if you're struggling with the direction of where things are going in your life, in your family's life, in whatever you're doing, seek comfort in the guiding hand of God. Know that God has a will for your life. Know that God has a plan for your life, that you have a purpose on earth, that you are made in His creation, and that your purpose and God's will is to follow Him, to delight in Him, to have communion with Him. So seek comfort in the guiding hand of God. And fourthly, seek shelter in the justice of God. Seek shelter in the justice of God. When we're looking at what's happening in the world, when we're looking at this world and we're seeing evil and we're seeing things that make us feel like nothing's in control, or we look at the world and we feel like Satan might be in control, seek shelter in the justice of God. Know that God is in control, that He has a plan, and that He will bring justice to evil, that evil will not reign, evil will not endure, but only our God will endure. Seek delight in the knowledge of God, communion with God in all things, comfort in the guiding hand of God, and shelter in the justice of God. Because when we deal with the troubles of this earth, when we feel alone, abandoned, isolated, we know that who God is comforts us when we feel forsaken. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your word, and we thank You that You are a God that not just created us and left us to our own devices, but that You are a God that created us, formed us in Your image to have a relationship with You. And that this relationship is one that we are seeking after and is for our good and Your glory. I pray for anybody in this room that does not know You, that You would work in their hearts, that You would bring them to You. And I pray that as we who do know You go throughout this week and go throughout this month and the rest of our lives, that when we feel forsaken, when we feel abandoned and alone, that we would seek You and that we would find comfort in who You are. I pray all these things in Your name. Amen.